Wrecked by C.B. Summers.
I first saw my dream girl doing 85 on the Pacific Coast Highway, heading northbound out of Malvado Playa. We were both driving red convertibles. I was behind the wheel of my brand new Maserati Gran Turismo. She was behind the wheel of a cherry 1965 Mustang. I first noticed her long black hair being whipped up in the air like a halo around her head. I thought, could this be? I found a break in oncoming traffic and pulled alongside her to take a look at her face. Look, what a beauty. She was Asian with prominent cheekbones and hooded eyes. I could tell she was tall, probably taller than me, from the size of her long, beautiful arms and elegant hands. She was wearing a low-cut white blouse, which the wind was whipping about, exposing in little flashes the milky curvature of her large breasts and the lacy black bra that was barely able to contain them. She looked over at me through her smoky pink sunglasses. She saw the look in my eyes. She knew I was a dog. She smiled a crooked little smile, winked and stepped on the gas, leaving me in the dust. She was a total tease. I put the pedal to the metal to catch up with her. PCH is a damn twisty road, so it got pretty hairy pretty quickly. But I wasn't about to let her get away. I knew this woman. I dreamed about her for years. Here she was, 5 car lengths ahead of me and accelerating like a motherfucker. She drove like a demon, swerving around those curves like a Grand Prix driver and zigzagging past the slowpokes. I pulled alongside her again as soon as I matched her speed somewhere in the neighborhood of 95 and shouted my name. She shouted hers, but couldn't really hear each other. But that didn't matter. We'd already made a plan with our eyes. We were going to head back to Malvado Playa, stop at the first hotel, and fuck until sunset the next day. She did a 180 on the highway like something out of a movie and started heading back to town. I'd never done that kind of maneuver before outside of a parking lot, but I had to or she might have lost me. Soon I was chasing her tail like the dog I am. I even tried to pass her to demonstrate my top dog status, but she sped up with me, not letting me get by. She had a beautiful, wicked smile on her face. We went faster and faster. The needle passed 110. Then that damned wide load truck came around the bend. It was a house on a big trailer. And even though there were flashing lights all over it, we barely had time to react. I guess that's why those damn speed limit signs are everywhere. Well, live and learn. We both swerved outward, passing that house on wheels with only inches to spare. But we overcompensated on our rebound and swerved together. Our cars clashed and our fenders entwined in a shrieking, screaming sound. We swerved and spun and skidded and squealed in a ballet of twisted metal that played out in horrific slow-mo. Her car broke free of mine and headed straight as an arrow toward the glittering blue Pacific. She smashed through the guardrail and did a Knievel over the cliff, leaving PCH in her rear view. Her hot red Mustang made a crazy arc through the air, trying to flip ass over front as it dove toward the briny blue. Apparently, she didn't believe in seatbelts because she flew out of her seat, arms opening like wings as if she were trying to ride the warm ocean breeze to safety. But gravity wouldn't let her off the hook. I marveled at the beauty of her long legs. Oh yeah, she was tall, just like my dream girl, and nicely fed. This girl definitely had some junk in the trunk. She was wearing a short skirt that accentuated the voluptuous curves of her body. Oh, I marveled at her beauty even as she fell, tumbling through a flock of seagulls into the roaring waves below. She splashed 30 feet beyond where her Mustang met its watery end. I guess I should have kept my eyes on the road instead of turning my head to follow my dream girl's terrifying trajectory. My anti-lock brakes kept me from skidding as I slowed, but my wheel clipped a rock on the side of the road and the world turned upside down. Then right side up, then backside front and every which way until my sexy Maserati crunched to a stop against a great big chunk of the good old planet Earth. I sat there in shock, bleeding and immobile in the twisted wreckage, breathing the weird gases hissing out of my deflating airbags. I was absolutely certain that the future Mrs. Dog was dead. It caused the pain in my heart worse than the grinding of my broken bones, worse than the pain in my arms, which were cracked and bent in the most alarming directions. I watched in my spider-webbed rear view as several Samaritans scrambled down the cliff to fish her out of the sea. It took a while for the jaws of life to set me free, so I was still there when the EMTs hoisted my dream girl up the cliff, strapped to a gurney. She looked like a rag doll, but the paramedics said she was alive, barely. Our race continued, only this time we were in the back of ambulances, trying to beat each other to Playa Norte Hospital. I got my first close look at her, lying in a gurney next to her in the emergency room. She was a total mess. A fucking disaster, bruised and bloody from head to toe, tore up from the floor up. Both of her legs and one arm were broken in numerous places. Her face was swollen and unrecognizable. There was a long, bloody gash in her cheek, but her worst injuries were internal. I was looking at her when she died. They call me the dog. Oh yeah, that's right, the dog. Because I'm as ugly as a pug. Always have been, short, stocky, balding. My nose is a little too bulbous and my eyes are a little too big and wet. And shit, did I tell you how sweaty and hairy I am? Damn. The dog is simply not attractive to the ladies. Is that my fault? I was born that way. I guess I could cheat, wear a rug, shave my back, but that ain't real, that ain't me. Hell, I work out, and my cock ain't too bad, but fuck, women just don't like the way I look. I can't blame them. When I was a kid, I had no idea what to do about it. I was a nice guy till I was 23, and what did that get me? 23 years without a single kiss. And forget about pussy, no pussy for you, dog. You're just too damn ugly. So one day I said, fuck that, and changed my tune. I became the dog. I started going up to ladies and telling them I wanted to fuck them long and hard. Who knew that acting like an asshole is the key to the kingdom? Shit, sure I got slapped plenty of times, but eventually around midnight, the first night of my new life, I got fucked good and proper. She weren't no beauty queen, but I wasn't complaining. And she wasn't exactly sober, but neither was I. All I can say is that it did the trick and I never looked back. The dog is a tail chaser straight up. I make no bones about it. I am all about the pussy. I'll do anything to get it. Hell, I'm not particular. I like to fuck women, all sizes, shapes, and colors. Pussy is what I crave, day and night, dreaming, waking, and working. As for the ladies, I only have three rules. She's got to be over 18, I card, free of STDs, I take the word for it. But most of all, she's got to be into the dog, or at least desperate enough to give the dog a shot. Believe it or not, there are more than a few women out there who meet these exacting specifications. It's only a matter of sniffing them out. It ain't easy when you're as ugly as the dog. But if you're always on the hunt, you never go hungry. Well, you may go hungry, but you don't starve. And that's the point, ain't it? Well, ain't it? No, sir, it ain't. Took me a lot of years to figure that out, but ain't no way to live a life. Cruising bars late at night, hoping for scraps and pity, no, sir. The dog is depressed. The dog is alone. The dog is a lonely, sad little man. So what you may ask, is the dog really after? Love. That's right, that unscratchable itch. Fucking love. The ultimate bitch. I've searched my whole life for my dream girl. I've always known she was out there somewhere, looking for me. So I'm always looking for her. I know, delusional. Yeah, fucking delusional. But hey, it gives me something to hope for. It don't take no genius to know that when you're looking for someone in particular, it helps to have a physical description. So here it is. The dog's dream girl. She's of Asian extraction, but not small and skinny like most Asians. No, she's a few inches taller than the dog. And an athlete, though not a professional one. Maybe she plays tennis or volleyball, but it's definitely something competitive. She's strong, but you wouldn't know it to look at her because she's a little on the chubby side. Not flabby. Let's just say she's got a bit of wiggle in her walk, if you know what I mean. She has a healthy appetite for food as well as for sex. She has long, straight black hair and her breasts are all natural, beautifully shaped and larger than my hands. Her skin is the color of milk and soft as silk. And although her face glows with a radiance that speaks of innocence, you can see by the sparkle in her dark brown eyes that she's a dog, through and through, like me. She thinks about sex all the time and ain't too particular about who she beds, just so long as they're clean and eager. She's into guys, girls, and groups, and has done enough of the truly freaky shit to know it's not for her. But she loves it up the ass. And just like the dog, she is bone tired of this shabby, sad life and looking for L-O-V-E love. But that ain't all, no sir. She's the kind of girl that makes dicks hard just walking down the street. She's just that fucking hot. But she's not vain. She was just born that way, after all. She says there's nothing to be proud of. She's bald nerds and jocks, repairmen and stockbrokers, fatties and skinnies, grandsons and grandfathers. And she didn't care if they were in her league or not, because life is short, and if you can't give pleasure to your fellow man or woman, then what the fuck's the point? My dream girl is looking for her dream man, for whom she'll feel love and loyalty, but who won't tie her down. She hasn't got a jealous bone in her body. And when she finds the dog, she'll love me with all her heart. Even while she's watching me screw a stranger, because she's happy that I'm the kind of man that will love her with all my heart while she's screwing you. Yeah, I know the impossible dream. But there she was, lying on the gurney next to me, dead as a doornail. I heard the terrible long beep her heart monitor made when she gave up the ghost, and all at once, the whole emergency room staff poured in the room to save her. They rolled in the crash cart, were shouting out commands and shooting her up with drugs just like on TV. Then, without so much as a howdy-do, one of the nurses cut her shirt and bra off with a big pair of scissors, and I laid my eyes on the most beautiful set of tatas I'd ever seen. Those lovely globes were just the right size, just the right shape. Paper white with pale brown areolas and lovely little nipples. Oh, fuck. That tall Asian cutie was built like a brick house. When they shocked her with the paddles to start her heart again, her breasts jumped and jiggled. They were all natural, baby. My cock began to harden immediately. Okay, I know she was technically dead, and I'm a sick man to have been checking her out at a time like that, but I gotta remind you, this was my dream girl. I'd been smitten with infatuation from the moment our eyes first met, and it was breaking my heart to see her die. It was a motherfucking tragedy. I had to admire her while I could. Soon they'd cover her up with a blood-stained white cloth and wheel her down, down, down to the morgue. I'd never get to touch that perfect body, nibble those beautiful boobs, or hear her orgasmic groans as I slammed my cock into her perfect pussy. Oh, it was total Pittsville, man. I was also high as a kite from the pain meds, so give the dog a break. I wept like a baby, if you can believe it. A baby with a raging boner.
but when I heard the beeps of her resurrected heartbeat, I tried to shout out in joy. I couldn't, though, because of the tube they'd shoved down my throat to keep me breathing. I could feel no pain when I realized she was probably gonna survive. And dog that I am, I savored the idea that maybe I'd get a chance to give her that orgasm after all. Then I passed the fuck out. The next few weeks were a living hell, I shit you not. In addition to several broken ribs, both my arms were not just fucked up, they were fucked up. I mean serious fractures. They'd mummified me in one of those upper body casts where the arms are supported in front of you on metal posts. My legs were okay, but scratched up pretty bad. They hurt like hell if I moved them even a tiny little bit. I was helpless as a baby. At first they gave me a catheter, since I wouldn't be able to piss on my own, but I got an infection, so they had to take out the tube and help me pee by hand. The first time, holy shit, it hurt like hell, thanks to the infection. But by the third time, the pain was gone, and here I was, trussed up and helpless, with a 20-something fresh-faced Latina nurse holding my beloved cock in her gloved hand. I tried not to let it happen. I may be the dog, but I know the difference between appropriate and inappropriate. But my cock apparently never got the memo because it got hard and fast. I guess nurses are used to this kind of thing because she pretended not to notice. She tried to let go of my stiffening rod, but it just stood straight up. I'd have pissed all over creation. So she had no choice but to bend my wooden cock sideways over my thigh and hold it, aiming it into the piss jug, or whatever it is they call it. Any guy will tell you it's hard to piss with a hard on, so she had to hold my dick for quite a long time. She kept saying, maybe later, but I'd say, no, it's coming, just hold on, sorry. All I could feel was her fingers on my dick, and I kept thinking, if she fondled my cock much longer, I'm going to shoot my wad in that jug. But I finally pissed. Although, by that time I was so turned on that it totally felt like I was coming anyway. I gave a long, drawn-out groan of pleasure the whole time I was emptying my bladder into that plastic jug. She did not like that. Not at all. When it was over and she'd covered up my raging boner with the blanket, I tried to apologize, but she wouldn't even look at me. Who could blame her? I thought I got that boner just because she was a cutie pie, but I was wrong. Every time a nurse touched me to piss, Bonerville to the max. Every single time. It didn't matter if the nurse was old or young, male or female. Oh shit, it was embarrassing when it was a male nurse's turn. But I must admit, I took perverse pleasure whenever the young Latina nurse got the job. Fuck, she was so sexy. I got a hard-on every time she came into the room just to take my temperature. What can I tell you? The dog's cock is a pampered pooch. He felt neglected. And here's the part of the story where I tell you how one day the hot Latina got so turned on by my 7 inches of steel, she suddenly bent over and blew me until I shot my wad down her hot little Latina throat. But that ain't what happened. I hate to admit it, but she wasn't into the dog. Actually, touching the dog's dick kind of grossed her out. That wasn't my only frustration. I tried to find out about my dream girl's help, but since I didn't know her name, nobody on the staff would give me any useful information. Maybe they took my boners personally, I don't know. All they would tell me was that she was alive and in recovery. I would lay in bed hour after hour, day after day, just thinking about her, picturing her face, her flowing hair, her pale breasts bouncing as they brought her back to life. And my cock would get hard, tinting my hospital gown for anyone passing by to see. I could hear the nurses sniggering. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't touch it. It wanted to come. I'd never been so frustrated in my life. It would just throb and throb hard as a bar of iron. Absolute torture. I tried to get relief by calling a couple of ladies who were kind enough to see me regularly. They liked the dog and all, but not enough to visit me in the hospital. Bitches. I erased them from my contact list, and there was nobody left. Shit, I was alone in the world. Eventually, I could stand and move my legs, and the nurses encouraged me to start walking. I'm sure they wanted to speed my recovery along so I could start pissing on my own again. It certainly made it easier now that I could sit up on the edge of the bed. All they had to do now was lift my hospital gown and push the plastic jug over my hardening dick. They didn't have to touch me there anymore. But I missed it because it was the only contact my cock got other than the occasional sponge bath. I was motivated to get back on my feet because I knew that the future Mrs. Dog was out there somewhere. I had to find her before they carted her away to another hospital and I lost her forever. Walking was pretty painful. With my arms in that insane cast, the IV cart hooked to my arm and my chest wrapped up to let my broken ribs heal, I had to move slowly and carefully. As soon as I was able, I began to make shuffling excursions around my floor of the hospital, secretly searching for my dream girl. She was here somewhere. I just knew it. I had to sniff her out. Every chance I got, I would creep about the hallways, my dick half-mast, peering into open doors, desperate to find her. The nurses tried to restrict my little jaunts because, frankly, I was creeping everyone out. So I began to get up in the middle of the night to continue my search. I discovered the best time to hunt was between 3 and 6 a.m. when there was only one nurse on watch in each floor of the hospital. Eventually, I started to think maybe she'd been transferred to another hospital. But finally, about a week into my search, I found her in a different wing on a higher floor. My heart leapt with joy when I realized my frustrating search was over.
End of part 1.